Okay, Psalm 139. If you'd like to follow it in the Bible, you might find that helpful. They are in the pews in front of you, the seats in front of you. Verse 13 of Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for our mothers, and whether our relationship with our mother is or was good or difficult or a mixture of both, we acknowledge that we wouldn't be here without our mums. And we thank you for the reminder this day that you knitted us together in our mother's womb, that you ultimately are our creator and life giver. Be with us now, we pray, as we consider the implications of this from Psalm 139. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin with an article, What to Do When Life Feels Out of Control. It's from a mental health website called Very Well Mind. And it begins with reasons why you feel like your life is out of control. It says there's plenty of reasons why life may feel out of control. The following are a few. I'll just give you the headings rather than expanding. Stress, health issues, relationship issues or pressures, work troubles, national or international crises, personal tragedy. It then goes on to talk about what to do when life feels out of control. So according to this article, some of the below steps may be useful when life starts to feel out of control. Pause and take a break. It says take some time for yourself and with an underline, practice self-care. A recent study discovered better stress management and quality of life for medical students who engaged in self-care as opposed to those who did not. Talks about try to change your perspective. Rather than viewing your life as out of control, it may help to take an it is what it is perspective for the time being. You hear that all the time, don't you? It is what it is. It's a kind of catch cry of our times. And then conversely, it says take control of things you can change. Even though people may not have control of everything in their lives, they do still have control of some things. Work on changing the things in life that you do have control over, it says. And then be confident in your life decisions. Sometimes life can feel out of control when you are constantly worrying and wondering if you're making the right choices in life. With the things you do have control over, you tend to want to make sure you get it just right, almost perfect, but nothing will ever be perfect. And then talk it out, pick up a hobby, think positively. So there are some of the things on offer. Now, these might be helpful self-help tips to a degree. They may give some relief. But the Bible, and in particular Psalm 139, gives us more substance, especially in the area of perspective. Rather than it is what it is, the Bible teaches us it is because our sovereign creator ordained it. Very different. Not it is what it is, but it is because our sovereign creator ordained it. So we come to point one of Psalm 139. God, our creator, is sovereign over our lives. The center of the psalm is in verses 13 to 18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So here is the Christian's perspective. I am created by God. He knit me together in my mother's womb. I am who I am because of God. Yes, my inherited genetics are a significant factor, and the kind of people my parents are or were, if your parents have passed or parent has passed, the manner in which my mother loved, in my case, for which I am very grateful, or failed to love me, have a significant impact on who I am. Biological and environmental factors, yes, but ultimately, I am God's creation. And my Creator is also sovereign over my life. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God is in control of my life. I make decisions. Perhaps as I was growing up, my mother and my father made decisions for me and advised me on decisions, taught me how to make good ones. From their perspective, this is all true. God has given us freedom, yet he is sovereign over our freedom and decision making. This is hard for us to get our minds around, that we are free thinkers who make decisions, yet will be held to account for our decisions by a sovereign God. These two truths in parallel lead King David to praise God. Verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. God is so big that he is beyond our ability to fully understand. We can know that he is sovereign and know that we make choices and will be held to account for them, but exactly how these two things fit together is beyond our ability to comprehend. God is exponentially bigger than us and our thinking. So the truth that God is our creator and that he is in control of our lives should be a big help to us. If and when our lives feel like they are out of control, we can trust God. When we worry about our future or about our health or our death, we remember all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And as Christians, we remember Jesus, the Son of God, who was with God in the beginning, creating all things, and who is now risen and reigning, sovereign over all things, sustaining all things by his powerful word, including us, every breath we take, every beat of our heart. The Son of God is in control. He is bigger than us. Point two, God's intimate knowledge of us. I wonder whether anyone is familiar with the US country artist Lauren Alaina. Anyone into US country music? Everyone's shaking their heads. Don't worry, I wasn't either until I Googled her. Lauren Alaina, there she is. I think she might have been on America's Got Talent or something like that. I think she got discovered there. Anyway, she has a song called Like My Mother Does. Like My Mother Does. Here are some of the lyrics. People always say, I have a laugh like my mother does. Guess that makes sense. She taught me how to smile. When things get rough, I've got her spirit. She's always got my back. When I look at her, I think, I want to be just like that. When I love, I give it all I've got, like my mother does. When I'm scared, I bow my head and pray, like my mother does. When I'm weak and unpretty, I know I'm beautiful and strong because I see myself like my mother does, like my mother does. No one knows us like our mother does. We all know that saying, if we don't know it from our own experience. But Psalm 139 says, that's not quite true. God knows us more intimately than even our mother, or our spouse, or our dearest friend. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways before a word is on my tongue. You, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. And again, the psalmist, King David, finds this truth mind-boggling. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now, I would say that there is something very comforting about this truth. God knows us. We never need to feel like no one knows me. No one understands. I remember a very lonely period in my life. Ironically, it was when I first became a Christian. Because my friendship group previously was not Christian, when I became a Christian, I became an outsider to my friends. They didn't really want me around anymore because I was no longer into the things that were at the center of our friendship group, the partying and all the rest. But neither at that time did I have any church friends. I had just begun at my first church but didn't know anyone. Only a couple of guys, a little bit from high school, who weren't in my friendship group back at school. I was a couple of years out of school by this stage. So no old friends and no new friends yet. And I could see how good the friendships were in the church. Most of those guys had grown up in the church together, but I was on the outside of that. So it was hard. I was lonely for quite a period of time. But I had comfort in knowing God knew me. I was his and he was mine by the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that's all that really mattered to me at that time. God was and is with me at all times and in all places. God's comforting presence. King David knew this. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So again, there is great comfort in the truth that God is with us. Wherever life takes us, God is present with us by the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Lord Jesus, when we give ourselves to Him. God is present to guide us. God is present to hold us fast. This reminds me of John 10 and Jesus' promise. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Whatever we face in life, whatever you might be facing right now, whatever you may be anxious about when you consider your future, you can know that God is with you now and will be with you then. This is greatly comforting. But we also must acknowledge that it is somewhat unsettling. Verses 11 and 12 remind us that there is no hiding from our sovereign Creator who is present with us. He sees it all, even what we do in the dark that no one else sees. When it says God knows us, He truly knows us, warts and all. He knows us better than even our mothers. He knows our secret thoughts. He knows those things that we have done that we try to forget. And so, a sobering message in Psalm 139, "Our sovereign God will punish all evil." King David knows that our sovereign Creator God will punish all evil, for He is good and just. "If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you, God, with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord?" Strong language. "And abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." There's some strong language here. It's quite grating, really, in the context of the rest of the psalm. David is calling on God to bring His justice against his enemies. And as king of Israel in the Old Testament era, David's enemies are God's enemies, and God's enemies are David's enemies. Yet David knows God's justice is perfect, so he quickly looks inwardly to make sure that he has his own house in order. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." When we look at our world and see injustice and outright evil, when we experience injustice ourselves or someone commits an evil act against us, it is right to look to God for justice. And if we don't see any justice in this world, as Christians, we can look forward to the day of justice when Jesus judges the world, when all wrongs will be put right. This hope is good and comforting. But it is also somewhat unsettling because every deed will be brought to light, including our own, including those things that we have been able to keep hidden until that time. So King David's prayer should become ours. With the knowledge that God is our Creator and that He is sovereign over all things, including the days of our life, and knowing that on the day of God's choosing, we will stand before Him to give account, knowing His justice, we must throw ourselves on his mercy and grace. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thankfully, we have a greater knowledge than King David. Living in this New Testament era, we know the way everlasting. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Mercy, grace, love, forgiveness, the gift of the Spirit, God's presence, comfort, assurance, the way everlasting, eternal life, all of this is found in Christ. So this Mother's Day, we give thanks to God for our mothers who bore us and gave birth to us and mothered us. And we remember our Creator, Sovereign God, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We're going to sing, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you for reminding me. I haven't got it on this particular set of notes. We're going to hear a little video just as we reflect on Psalm 139. We have a Colin Buchanan song that he whipped up in 24 hours. A friend asked him, Colin, can you write a song on Psalm 139? 24 hours later, he sent this back to us.